We're in lesson 90 in the book of Ephesians. And be turning to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darknesses of this world, against spiritual wickedness and where? High places. Now we looked, last lesson we was talking about how Satan, you know, was taking wiles and tricking you into some things, and you can get tricked in your mind. And you don't fall, you know, don't fail to understand that Satan's method of operation is to trick you into not taking a stand in this doctrinal truth and just be able to just fall. But chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the ideal here is to do with the fact that we are to what? Stand. When nothing else happens, you still stand. When all the world's going around you and coming at you night and day and with everything, you still need to stand for sound doctrine. And we stand in the position that we have in who? Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to stand in bodily truths. He's forming a body, so there's a body. And we come together here corporately to worship as a body. And, you know, we fly one flag here. You know, basically. And we are to stand for the truth of the Word of God rightly divided is what is in operation today. Here's the issue. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? To stand. Stand, therefore. The issue is standing in your warfare with the adversary. You know who the adversary is? You think he's got ministers out there? The Bible says he does. You think he's got generals out there coming at you? And angels out there, angelic beings out there. Yes, he does. And it's not the issue of taking a bazooka or a machine gun and mowing him down. What good is that going to do against Satan and his adversary? You're not going to touch him. You watch all these, you know, Avenger movies and stuff like these superheroes. What good does that do to them? They just get down right back up, don't they? So you're not going to mess with them. The issue is just standing in the truth that God has for the body of Christ and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You are to take your stand there and hold your ground that God has given you. He placed you into Him. He placed you into God Almighty, into the body of Christ, and you need to stand in that. Not only stand in it, you need to what? Rest. You can find peace and all. You are standing and you are withstanding. And when the Satan attack comes, you do not give up any ground to him. You know when you give up an inch here, you're losing it, aren't you? Isn't it much better to gain an inch? I think, Danny, sometimes you got a territory, don't you? Something you have to go into. What happens if you lose some of that territory? It's not a good feeling, is it? You know, you feel like you're being attacked by other salesmen or whatever, other companies. Like, wait a minute, this is my territory. You almost stand my ground. In fact, I'm coming and I'm getting into your territory, if that's the way you play. You know, that's just the you know, that way we do. You hold the ground that God has given you and all the blessings that he's given you in Christ. All the completeness he has given you. You hold on to that. And you don't let any of it slip away. And you're not going to be moved away from it, but you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We looked at that before. You're not made strong by the Lord. You with me? You're rather strong where? In the Lord. The Lord didn't make you any stronger than he made her, and vice versa. But in Christ, in the Lord, we're made strong. And God gives us a measure of faith, and we need to build on top of that. You're not made strong by the Lord, but rather strong in the Lord, as I just shared. You're standing in Him, a complete position that He has given you in who? Christ. God the Father did. You're taking those things and you're putting those doctrines on as armor. You had to put the whole armor of God on. We'll look at that later on. There is a spiritual armor of doctrine that you encase your life in and your soul in. And there will you withstand and stand in the position that God has given you. Verse 12 says that we wrestle not against what? What do you think wrestling is?
Struggling.
You're going like this. Is it pro wrestling on TV?
No.
That's entertainment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, wrestling in this verse is a very special term, guys. You two, your two little boys probably wrestle sometime, don't they? You know, and you're like, okay, somebody's going to get hurt. You know, like, and they keep wrestling. You know, that's flesh and blood. It is a unique term that Paul has described that combat and what we have in the adversary. Our combat with the adversary, the devil, is described as a personal, hand-to-hand combat that is a struggle. And we personally are grabbing and struggling. That's why it says wrestle. I wrestled in high school. It's a hand-in-hand. It wasn't a group thing. Everybody didn't get out there and, you know, jump on top of each other. It was hand in hand. Me and you are wrestling with each other. And that's what this is about. But it's not fun and games, guys. This is serious stuff. And you struggle with hand in hand combat between two soldiers. Listen, how easy would it be to sit behind a desk and order an airstrike from a submarine? Very easy, wouldn't it? How easy would it be to send bombers over and aircraft carriers over? But how hard it is to have that foot soldier on the ground, hand-to-hand combat with the adversary. Nobody really wants to do that, but we train our military in that certain situation. In your mind, you need to think about that because you need to be trained hand-in-hand combat against that adversary. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. It's a serious matter, and somebody is going to be destroyed. Either you're going to destroy it, or he's going to destroy you. You know what I'm talking about? And once you're defeated, many of us know how it is to be defeated, spiritually and physically. It's not a good feeling, is it? But when you're a young guy growing up, you're like, hey, I can watch the world. You know, I watch my son sometimes, and the thing he partakes in, I'm like, just keep your mouth shut, son. You know, you don't just watch how you walk, you know, because, you know, he's an army and they think they can whip the world, you know, but the outside world says, come on in here, buddy. I'll show you a thing. And they jump you, you know, they jump you. They'll come and take you. They are soldiers wrestling together, and it's a serious matter. The adversary wants it to be you. With me? He wants you to be defeated. He's going to control you. Not only is it a serious battle, it's a personal struggle, guys. And it's the reason why he says it. It's not a corporate struggle. Now, we can get together corporately and defeat a lot of things in the neighborhood, and, you know, in religion and stuff like that. That's one thing. But a personal one is something. This is a struggle that you, the individual believer, are engaged in day by day out in your life. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just start standing more strong in the Word of God, rightly divided, and see what comes down after you. Your family's going to turn on you. Your religion's going to turn on you. Your friends that you thought you had friends is going to turn on you. And the only thing you're going to have is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Isn't that enough?
Should be.
Amen. It should be. Because if you're that and you turn around, guess who I see? You'll see the same people standing for truth that you never thought they were standing before, but they're with you. You're like, wow, awesome, I'm not by myself. It's not a good feeling to be by yourself, is it? Especially thinking, you know, woe is me, nobody loves me, I can't get nobody to see this message, that type of thing. It has to do with sound doctrine in the Word of God, not just any doctrine. Paul calls it sound doctrine. You're not going to move it. Moses taught doctrine, didn't he?
Yep.
You know, that was a foreign word to me when I first come to understanding some discipline. Doctrine, what's this? What's doctrine? You know, I was thinking doctorate, you know, but it's doctrine. It's teachings. Moses taught teachings. Adam taught teachings. All of them, everybody's got teachings to teach. But Paul calls it sound doctrine that's found in his epistles. And there is a satanic policy of evil directed at you individually, and you need to understand this. Listen, I couldn't wish any more better on all of us to have a hunky-gory life, happy, rosy day. You know, look at us, we're Christians, we're going to live forever, you know, that type of thing. But you go over to some of these countries that people standing for truth, what are they doing? They're getting beaten. They're getting thrown into prison. You know, I know a guy that spent years in China, beaten inches of his life all the time, but he still stood there. You know, you may know some people like that too. We're very fortunate to have a country that it hasn't affected us physically yet. Spiritually, if you're being attacked, and that can be just too much overwhelming for some. He wants to cause you to move away from the spiritual realities you have operating today. He wants you to focus on physical and circumstances and all rest and not focus on the things that God is doing today. You with me? God is doing certain things today that many of us in the flesh thinks he's doing, but he's not doing. There's a lot of religions out there that says God is doing this today, so therefore they speak in tongues, they lay on hands, they drink deadly things, they, you know, they baptize for the dead, all kinds of stuff. But God ain't doing that today. So how much more of a man, i.e. mankind, women, would it be more to stand on God's word what he's doing today than it would be just jump over there and do anything you want to do? Many of us have done that. Many of us have been there. Got a t-shirt and all that stuff. He wants you to focus on that. That's Satan. But today, what is God doing today? He's forming a what?
Body.
And he calls it a church. The body of Christ. There's three churches in your Bible. Church in the wilderness. The kingdom church. That started right here, but got interrupted. And the church, the body of Christ. Which one are you in today? Is forming a spiritual body of believers, which he takes to Jew and Gentile, places it in a spiritual body where they absolute, total, equal bias. You're not above the Jew, and Jew's not above you in the body of Christ. You're all equal. So let me ask you something today. Don't get mad at me. Okay? What benefit does it make to bless a Jew today in Israel? If they're lost and dying and going to hell, not in a member of the body of Christ, what benefit would it be to bless the Jew anywhere today? There's no benefit. God says there's no difference. So what we need to do to the Jew and the lost Gentile out there, Gentiles included, is to share the gospel. We're going to see something in a little bit. Share the glorious gospel to these people and have the light come and they become members of the body of Christ. Serious stuff out there. Everybody is blessed just alike, completely and fully in Christ by the faith in the gospel. And what is gospel? What's the gospel today? Acts 2:38.
No.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. Acts 2:38, guys. How many's heard that? You know what position that is? Acts 2, that's Acts 2 dispensations. They believe that. But that's totally different between Christ dying, buried, and rose again. That's six different things. And they don't mix. So you better know which dispensation you're in. You better know which church you're going to be a part of. Because is it scriptural? Yes. Yes. It's scriptural, but is it dispensational? I can never imagine taking an axe and 2:38s and pointing at somebody and says, believe this. You with me? That's supposed to be a joke, guys. An axe and 2:38s. Okay. I'd much rather have the death, burial, and resurrection. But anyway, Christ did it for me. But look, The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he ascended on high on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And there we are seated with him, where? On earthly places.
No.
Heavenly places. This is a mystery. That we're seated in heavenly places. Not that Christ is going to die and bury and rose again. That was Genesis 3:15. By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you and I are made part of that spiritual body that God is forming because we rightly divide the word of truth. Everybody rightly divides. Excuse me. Everybody divides. You either wrongly divide, you don't divide at all, or you rightly divide. And everybody is a dispensationalist, whether you believe it or not. They're just not consistent in their dispensationalism. With me? They go up to a point. And they'll tell you, some of those Acts 2 guys that many of us came out of, they'll tell you, well, tongues are not for today. Right? Some of them do that. But it's over there it was. So they'll choose some of this stuff in that. But look, we are not to go back to that legal form in dispensation and try to figure out what God is doing. We're not going to be distracted with the social and government of perfection in future ages over here and trying to get a social order in for today. You ever notice that, what people's trying to do?
Yeah.
Trying to get everybody in a social order. God ain't doing that today. He's got a message to a lost person. You trust that, you get in there and you get in his word. But rather, we understand what God is doing today. We understand he is forming a new creation. A new creature. That's exciting, guys. You look out there today and the flowers are coming up. Something brand new. Leon and I was talking about that a while ago. You know, the things that he planted last year is popping up and it looks beautiful. You know, so if you took a seed and you put it in the ground, it pops up, but something new. You know, it's creation. It's life. That's what God is doing. The one new man in whom we are a part of. God is not... You know, you had the Jews and you had the Gentiles. Is that one man right there?
No.
But the mystery, he brings one new man. Twain making one new man. That's what he's doing today. You with me? That's important. So the essence of the trick, so what he's doing, Satan wants to take that focus away from that with wiles and trickery and foolery. And the essence of a trick is to take something that is real, we know the thing, and make it appear to be what? Not real. And take something not real and make it a form as what? Being real. That's trickery, guys. You know that old, there's nothing in my hat, right? There's nothing in my coat, nothing up my sleeve. And then all of a sudden, boom, rabbit comes out. Ooh, we're amazed. We just got tricked. Okay, that's all it is. And people said, oh, he's magic magician. No, he ain't. He's tricked you.
Sleight of hand.
The cunningness, craftiness. You want to see magicians throw a staff down and turn into a snake.
Yeah.
Now that'd be something. Which people do, what appear, they saw you in half. And half the body's walking this way and other. You're being tricked. By smoke and mirrors or whatever the case may be. You know, some religions are doing that today. Believe it or not, they're tricking people. And the thing is, you know it wasn't supernatural when that does that. You do know that, don't you? It's magic. It's trickery. And all tricks and a sleight of hand and cunning craftiness and so forth. Satan's attempt is to throw doctrine and ideals and circumstances at you to try to cause you to doubt God's purpose and to doubt the doctrine and to doubt the reality of what God is doing today. He's doing that, guys. Hey, I've seen people come to understand this truth and this battle starts and Satan's throwing things and there's like, and they go back. They go back right under the bondage and stuff. And he tries to cause you to look away and cause you to walk by sight, not by faith. If you can see it, it's not faith, guys. We got to read it. Paul says we wrestle. And that is what we wrestle against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, as the Bible talks about. We wrestle against human weaknesses and humanity. We don't wrestle against that either. Flesh and blood. Are you flesh and blood? So that means it's people. And he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people. But God may use people to oppose you. But that person, in all reality, is not your enemy. And that, I believe it, you know, it makes me think twice. I'm like, wait a minute. No, he ain't my friend either. But the person himself or herself, the physical, who she is, that's really not your enemy. Think about this for a second. The person is not the issue. Hey, if I got an issue with you, who's got the problem? You ain't got the problem. I got the problem. If you got a problem, an issue with me, I don't have the issue. You got the issue. You with me? So we tend to make that personal, don't we? Oh, Ed didn't shave today. That's it. I'm not coming back next week. Ed shaved day. That's it. I'm not coming back next week. Ed wore a green shirt today.
And he's supposed still can't to, tie a Windsor knot.
And can't tie a Windsor knot.
Failed like to, the way you tie it.
Failed to remember how to. He did not renew his mind on a full Windsor or a half Windsor. See? But anyway, it's God uses people to oppose you, but the person is not the issue. In fact, it's everything you are after the person to get them saved. Listen, there's people out there attacking us in the doctrine that are lost. They're confused. You know, hey, if you don't think it's true, go talk to somebody about, you know, talk with them a little bit. And they may not be saved. They may try. And you mention Bible and see how much Bible they're going to tell you they know. Now, all of a sudden, they're scholars. Ah, the Bible's got contradiction in it. You say this, you read the Bible, do you? But the Bible don't have contradictions in it. It has contrast. And once you understand that, there's opposites in the Bible. We've done studies and studies on that. He chooses people. In fact, you're trying to get them established in the truth. That's what we should do. You see, the real enemy is not the person that might oppose you. The real issue is the one behind the opposition. Who is behind the doctrine here? Hey, if somebody is bad on you with the doctrine, who's pulling their strings? Because the God of the Bible, if you're lined up with the God of the Bible, you may oppose it personally for a while, but he's going to get you lined up with the doctrine. My thing was that I was fighting some man-made doctrines early in my dispensational life. And I turned out to say, I wanted to be right. Okay? I wanted to be right. And when I said, this is right, you're wrong, I'm wrong, it made a world of difference. I'm not fighting it. And when I fight with people, I tell people all the time, don't take this personally. When I'm training and stuff, I blow up at situations. I'm not blowing up at you. With me? Situations make me mad. Make you mad too. Yeah. So you need to explain to them, it's not you personally I'm getting mad with. It's the situation that we're in. And the real issue is the one behind it. That's a doctrinal issue. It's a spiritual battle and a real doctrinal battle and a real spiritual battle. Paul is describing our wrestling as hand-in-hand combat and our personal battle in Ephesians 6. That's where you're at right now. Finally, my brethren. It's a real behind-the-scenes conflict that is not visible except in the eye of faith. You don't know what that guy or gal out there is battling with through your eye. You know, they could be appear on the outside of happy-go-lucky life. You know what I'm talking about? And in their spiritual life, they're dead and going to hell. In their spiritual life, they're so confused. And they're being tossed to and fro. In churches like this one you're in right now, the Word of God is preached and taught on a regular basis. Would you agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay? And you get more Bible and light and instructions around here than the average church does. Would you agree or disagree? Yeah. Because you know what? Most of them will tell you a fishing story. Most of them I sing 4 or 5 songs, say a prayer, sing another song. The preacher gets up there, and the first thing we do, I know you guys because I'm the same way. He only got 15 minutes, I'm out of here. And he cuts it to 12, and you're still complaining. And then you sing 2 more songs. You ever notice that? It's full of tomfoolery. It's full of emotions. It's full of entertainment. Hey, listen, we sing songs here, but I'd rather have you the Word of God taught than any type of entertainment. Okay? That's me. You may like it. You get more on Sunday than the average church does in a month. So you should thank God for that, guys. You really should. But even in a place like this, some of us are AWOL. You know what I mean? Some of us are POWs. We talked about that before. Some of us are not doing what we're supposed to be doing in our spiritual life to grow and all. Many of us are caught up in the snares and traps, whether it's through loved ones or children or work or whatever. We have been neutralized in the battle, even among us. We are. I watch people come here and watch people get involved. Next thing you know, they're getting a battle. And they come POW, AWOL, for whatever reason. You know, I still look at them. I still pray for them and all that stuff. But they're AOL. They AWOL. Many of us has been beguiled and put under spells of Satan's cast. We've been neutralized in battles. Satan has a policy and design simple to cause us not to stand for truth and what God is doing in Operation Day. You think he can do that? We already know that once you're saved, he can't control, he can't possess you. Right? Your salvation is secure. But it can make you unaffected. And he wants to do that because having done that, he causes you to function in the mystery of godliness, not to be affected in your life. Turn with me to Corinthians chapter 4. Get Corinthians. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice how Satan deals with the unsaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The satanic activity that we wrestle against is not down at the bar or at the pub on Skid Row. Yet there is a battle there, aren't they? That's a fleshly battle. But the thing is, when you get out, when you get to there and you deal with those kinds of things, it's all it is flesh. That's probably not a person that probably never been, let me correct this. If you was part of a big church, many of you probably already went out and ministered, you know, walked the streets and said, hey, we're going down Skid Row today. We're going to, you know, give them the gospel. We're going to hand out tracts. You know what they want down there? Yeah. You know, I never forget that time we was walking. We'd been at the Navy Pier in Chicago late one evening and walking back, and we was parked like 600 blocks away. And you know, these people come out of the dark and they were asking for money. I said, silver or gold have I none. I pulled the Peter thing. You know, I didn't have no money. I don't carry no money with me. You know, you ever notice in Acts chapter 3, the lame man sitting on the steps, he's asking for what? Alms. You know what alms is? It's pickled beets, a loaf of bread, and mashed potatoes, right? Alms is money. You know what Peter said? Silver gold have I none. Rise in the name of Jesus. He stood up on his legs and walked. He didn't ask to be healed. You with me? Yeah. So that I was like, silver gold have I none. But I gave him the gospel instead. That's all I could give him. I didn't have no money, didn't have no food. But the thing is, what Satan wants you to do, having done that, he causes the function of the mystery to be unaffected in your life. Many of you know this gospel truth. You got enough doctrine inside of you right now that you can take the light of the glorious gospel that's inside you and take it to a lost person. Just share. You know Christ died for you. And if you trust that he died and was buried and rose again, I'll see you in eternity. You don't have to break down Pauline epistles. You know, you'll have plenty of time. Like the family you're talking to, you know, that type of thing. They could be churched. They're people sincerely, aren't they? But you know you can be sincerely wrong. And you'll have bless his heart. You know, they go, no. They need to hear a gospel, guys. Look, notice how Satan deals with the unsaved here. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. This is walking according to the course of the world, the fulfilling of the desire of the flesh and the mind. You need to understand the difference between the battle of the world system, corruption of the flesh, battling with the adversary and the devil. There's a battle out there. Ephesians 6 is not talking about words of flesh and the battling. We did that back in Ephesians chapter 5. We talked about that. It's not simply talking about the battling of the world system. He's talking about the battling of a spiritual battle with the adversary. I can't help not to think that when it was time for Joshua to go across into the promised land, and all those Hittites, Jebusites, Hittites, all them ites, they're his satanic strongholds in that land. Satan was already there. And when Joshua crossed over that promised land, he was ready to do battle. And God, the way God described that battle, it said to take them all. And when they didn't, it caused problems. If you don't think this is a problem maker for you, you better think twice. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But it says, But if this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world, who's this God of this world?
Satan.
Do you know where you find God's at? Satan is the God of this world. Do you know where you find God's at? It's not up here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, yet that's one of the temples. It's not at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yep, that's one of our temples. Where do you find God's at today?
Little G's.
In houses.
One-eyed monsters.
A lot of churches.
Bingo. Temples and churches. That's where they're at today. And you find them there. And a temple is a shrine for the dwelling place of a God. And Satan's sphere of operation is religion, guys. That's what he got. And he's called the prince and power of the air. And he's called the prince of the world. He's also known as the god of this world. Where would you think his gods are at? On a park bench? Serving ice cream? I would hope not. That's where I would serve. Not temple. Anyway, look. He has a religious system. He always has. He's been peddling religion from the beginning. In fact, Ezekiel says he's got merchandise to peddle. You know, religion. Paul says in the Jewish religion, he made money off of that. But I'm just throwing that out there. And the religious system is designed to hide the truth that it was committed to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul says, if our gospel, now what gospel would that be? The gospel of the grace of God. That special gospel that was hid in God before the foundations of the world. And he says, it's my gospel. Romans 16:25, establish you according to my gospel. Paul makes it personal. My gospel is what saves you today. Not a kingdom gospel. Not a gospel of the circumcision. You've been through that. There's an everlasting gospel out there that's going to be preached by angels. But look, it is hid, and it is hid to them that are what?
Lost.
Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not. You see that? He didn't blind their eyes that they couldn't see a beautiful church building. Or deafen their ears to hear a beautiful organ or what is it called? Orchestra or... man, they got rock bands in churches today. If that don't entice the flesh, you know? And of beautiful music. He didn't take away the senses that had no application of intellect argument and beautiful things. He blinded their what? Minds. I've told you this. If I haven't told you this, I'll tell you 1,001 times. The battlefield is right here, guys.
Amen.
Right between those two ears, that 8-pound of mass, gray mass, and the battle is here. You got kids. You think they're battling some things right now?
Amen.
Yes, they are. But look, the battle's right here. That's your renew your
mind.
And if you don't get that fixed and you don't get that right on the right track, you're going to have some problems. He blinded their mind. Continue in verse 4. Lest, here's what he is afraid of. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, when did he do that? What's that?
When he created.
Genesis 1.
He said, let there be light.
The light, the glorious, the light, the God who commanded light to shine out darkness. You know,
creation.
That's creation. Say it.
The electrical, what's called the light.
Well, the thing is, there was darkness there. Wait a minute. I thought in the beginning God created heaven and earth. I thought it was all perfect. Then it says, and the earth was found without void. Something happened. It was totally darkness. Then he let light shine.
I thought it was light. And he had to create light. He had to create darkness.
Well, darkness there because whether you believe in the gap theory or not, okay, if you believe that it be before Adam, I believe Satan blew a fuse and God flooded the universe. Okay? Then he separated the firmament. There's darkness on top. There's darkness on... He said, let there be light. That's when that's the way I believe. We can talk about that earlier. It's called the gap. Some call it a gap theory. I call it a gap fact. Because there's gaps in your Bible that if you really understand them, you're like, wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, because think about when Jesus Christ stood in the temple reading in Isaiah about who the Prince of Priests had come. Then he closed the book. You remember that in Luke?
Stop short. Yeah.
The next verse says, vengeance is coming. Great and noble day of the Lord was coming. So something, Wayne, you know what I'm talking about? Even Peter had a gap. So I'm not, you know, making stuff up. That's the way I believe. But look, 1, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan don't want that. He don't want that light of that glorious gospel that came off that page and came in that heart. And guess what happens when I... Listen, I don't know how she does it. But she'll turn out every light in the house. You know, go into the bedroom. And I might have a light on at the TV set or whatever sitting there. And she goes on to bed and she'll turn every light out. And last night... I turned the light out, and it's totally darkness. But she can get up in the middle of the night and go to the kitchen and wander around. And I'm thinking, how, you know, like I'm a blind bat. You know, I can't see. And I'm like, you've been there. And you hope.
Well, you do.
So I'm just thankful that we're cleaning our house a lot better than what we was. So there's nothing there stumbling over stuff. But I'm like, literally last night, why couldn't she just leave a little light? You know?
Flashlight.
Yeah, well, I got a cell phone, but I'll leave it in there so I won't go to bed with it. You know, I just that type of thing. But look.
If you were on your computer or technology, that's probably why you couldn't see anything.
Okay, yeah, true. Yeah, because after your eyes adjusting.
Your eyes can't adjust.
But it, I mean, I can just crack the window. you know, that type of thing. 3 o'clock in the morning, I can understand why. But look, Satan, he does not want the light to be turned on, guys. The light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan don't want that. You're in a battle. And as you preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, lost people out there will see this light. You can't preach a kingdom gospel and they're going to see a light that's God doing today. It's going to be dim. They're going to think it's a light. Oh, wow, Jesus said this. I'll see a big old billboard sign out there. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? Read Matthew. Big old billboard. I mean, we don't follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. We follow Jesus Christ in his glorified, risen Lord and Savior. Look, you preach it. And lost will see the glories in preaching the cross. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Satan blinds the mind. How can he do that? Blinds the mind. They're lost. Who are they serving?
Chapter what?
Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen, before you were saved, your daddy was the devil. Whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
I believe those verses in Ephesians chapter 2 were forth in times past. Every one of us had conversations, you know, with the devil. You look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 3, you'll see the way he does it with religious work. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil undertaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in who? Christ. But even until this day, even when Moses is read, the veil is upon their what? Jesus Christ ripped that veil when he died, and the light of the glorious gospel, light of who he is in the scripture, is made known. But where's the veil at? Stay with me, guys. It says upon their hearts. Right here's where you believe. You don't believe up here. You believe, that's head knowledge. You got to get that thing down. Listen, when it comes to this grace message, everybody can get the grace message. But very few does the grace message get. And once you get, when that grace message get a hold of you, you ain't turning back. And it grabs you and it sinks in you and it goes like this and it builds you up. And it's like, whoa, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But God, through Christ, everything's made known. You know what he does? They believe a
lie.
See? They get in that lie program. And they believe that the lie that works of righteousness will save them. I'm almost finished. They are relying on human effort, guys. Maybe you relied on human effort one time. Maybe I needed to do something with what Jesus Christ did. And they want you to have just what God has done. They don't want you just to put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. They want to add something to that. I know some of us struggle with that, but I'm satisfied in my heart and mind that you can't add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ to have your salvation fully paid for.
Amen.
Now, this is serious. Now, many of us have been brought up in systems that you've got to do this and do that. You know, I was reading, you know what diet soda is?
Mm.
You know what a diet is? I'm looking at those first three words. What does that say?
Die.
It's going to kill you. You know, I'm like, you're setting yourself up in a performance-based system. And diets, I know, listen, you guys could probably write books about diet. I know we probably tried everything in the world. You're setting yourself up to fail, period. And those first three words, like, whoa. Those letters, sorry. Die. I don't want to diet. I don't want to do it. But look, you always fail when you put yourself on a performance system. It doesn't matter from a simple performance system, ever. Let me ask you guys. If I told you guys to be sweet for your wife, you know, always be sweet to your wife. Do you think you could do that?
No.
Ladies, if I told you to always be sweet to your husbands, you think you could always do that?
Not always.
You fail. You acknowledge that. You'd be sweet to her right now. You get out there in a car or at home. Why did you pick that stuff up? Yeah. Why did you pick that stuff up? I'm like, you walked over 15 times yourself. You know? You see, I just failed, guys. I failed misery. You may not do that. But look, the simplest performance system, we can't even do that. Hey, there's probably some of us right now read 3 verses a day. 3 chapters, you know, of Paul's epistles. We'll start out, we'll get through the whole thing one time, and it's like my mind goes over here. My mind is so, not confused, but I got so much going on inside my mind right now, it's overwhelming. But you know what I got to do? I got to slow down and take the task at hand. There's some things I can't control. And I get upset when I see brothers out there that has a ministry like that, that's over here preaching with some other people that don't believe what we believe. And I'm like, how can you do that? Do you not know that's affecting? And I got to back up a little bit. I can't control that. You know, and I start warring with that. You know, our job is to warn people. You know, but you can't control them. The only thing I can do here is preach the Word of God, rightly divide it, and it comes off the page, it gets in your heart and soul, and you make the difference. Amen? I don't want to stand over here and control. Many of us have been controlled all our lives, from that age to this age. Somebody's always pulled the triggers and told us what to do this, and you're like, I'm not doing that no more. That is a performance system. No matter how wonderful the performance might be, it's not going to work because Satan's blind the minds to it. And when you go out passing tracts or witnessing people and sharing the gospel, you're not fighting those thick-headedness people out there. You know, just remember that. When people just get that away from me. You know, you remember, it's not really him you're fighting. It's the oppositions that's driving him. And that's powerful. You're like, whoa, my husband's possessed. You know, my cousin's is of the devil. You know, well, hello. Yeah. But look, you're wrestling against spiritual conflict, guys. While you're trying to turn the light on, the adversary is what? Turning it off. Pulling a plug. He's the prince of power of the air. You wonder why you got so much electricity problems? I'm walking around in the dark. She done tripped a breaker. I ain't got no lights. It's dark. But when you got the light of the glorious gospel shining out of you, there's light. There's light out there. And if you don't understand grace, and you don't understand how human effort and human performance distorts grace, you'll depart from it. This is what happens. People start departing from it. Because they don't understand it. That I thought I had to work for it. I thought I had to do this to get God's favor. And all that. If you don't understand how to do it, you'll depart from it. How you maintain grace properly. If you don't stand in the issues of what grace really is, do you know what happens? He will keep his victims and he will keep the gospel out because your batteries just run low. You picked up that flashlight out of that nightstand and you turned it on and nothing's happening. Battery's dead. How do you keep your batteries charged, guys?
You don't leave it on.
You don't leave it on. But you also got... Go ahead.
Get my car, my red car on. Sometimes I leave it on. And sometimes I switch it off.
Okay. It's best to switch it off to keep the batteries.
If it's dead, I'm going to have to charge it.
Charge it up. Okay, that's where I'm getting at. If your batteries are dead, you have to charge it. How do you charge it?
You plug the green plug in.
That's right. So as Logan, as
here's our green.
There you go. Here's our green plug in right there. There you go. But turn with me right quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know we gotta go. But look, there's a real spiritual battle that you're wrestling with here. You gotta see this, okay? It's very serious. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, Paul wrote this to young Timothy. Young Timothy is going through some battles over there. He's by himself. He's about to give up. And Paul's encouraging him. Hey, in latter days, you think we're in latter days from Timothy? You think Timothy was going through some of this when he was? Yes, yes. Why do they depart from the faith, guy?
Giving heed,
see, to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Devils. Now, there are a bunch of seducing preachers. We looked at this before, but you know who? That's what the spirits are. See, the devil himself ain't sitting here and trying to seduce you with hoodoo and all that stuff. It's preachers. It's Bible teachers. And this is what you should look at and giving heeds. There are a bunch of preachers coming along, drawing people away from the path of ridicule, the path of proper activities, and understanding, teaching doctrines of devils, satanic doctrines, and draws people away. If you're not careful here today, you could be drawn away yourself. Yeah. And these people believe the doctrines of devils. And Satan's policy is to hide bodily truth with wrongly dividing the word. When I said onslaught, there's three ways. You either wrongly divide, you don't divide at all. That's what Acts 2 people do, don't they? They just don't divide at all. There's all of it. Then you rightly divide. Satan wants to defeat the body of Christ. He wants to cause the members of the body of Christ not to be who they are in day in, day out. He wants to take the reality of who they are in God and has made you in Christ and the freedom and the liberty and the blessings that you have in Christ and make those things not real. So my suggestion and what we need to work on is saying, block that stuff out. It's not real. This is real. The words of God. I serve a glorified, risen Lord and Savior that lives today.
Amen.
That's exciting. I don't serve Buddha. I don't serve Confucius. The Zodiacs. I serve a glorified, risen Lord. And God has given you and I total forgiveness in Christ. He never holds anything against us. We have completely forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to go away from here feeling guilty. You don't have to go away from here feeling that I'm not worthy. I do that by myself. I can feel I'm not worthy all the time. But we have total forgiveness that in justification, redemption, all that. And Satan will teach doctrines that will make you think that God is still working on that performance system and using that guilt motivation. You know, people say, gosh, Ed, how many you got in your church? Well, 25, 30 if everybody show up. Well, you should have hundreds. I can make you feel guilty and put you under a conformance-based system and you'll kill yourself getting in here. and bringing anybody else in there. You watch that stuff sometimes. You know, wrong motivation. We should be grace motivated in our hearts and minds, saying, you know something? I want to be here for that. I don't want to be here because I have to. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.